morning, everyone. wish to greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior this morning. It's a blessing to be here already. And also, I want to give a special welcome to the visitors that are here this morning. Welcome you to worship with us. Feel like the some of the Sunday school discussion was a nice introduction to the message that I would like to share this morning. The title of the message is Listening to the Voice of God. And I guess some of the burden that I have in this message is there's a lot of voices in the world today. As we heard in the prayer request, there's a lot of unrest around the world. And a lot of different things, especially if we think of what we have in technology on our cell phones and so forth. There's a lot of different sources of different voices that we can listen to. I just want to challenge each of us to be rooted and grounded in listening to the voice of God. I feel a little scattered. I asked for your prayers this morning. I feel a little scattered with some of my thoughts, but we'll do the best we can. I think we'll start out in Psalm chapter 29. You can turn there in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 29. We're just going to consider a few passages, first of all, that just talk about the voice of God and what the voice of God is like. Psalms chapter 29 is a psalm of David, and he's talking about the power of God's voice. We'll read this chapter. It says, Give unto the Lord, Psalm 29, verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory, the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. That last verse is precious, especially if you consider the unrest in the world around us. The Lord will give strength unto his people. We don't face the persecution here, but it's around us, and we don't know how long we'll have the freedom that we have. But no matter what, the Lord will give strength unto his people and will bless his people with peace. We can have peace in our hearts even though the world is at unrest around us. Just considering the voice of the Lord here, the voice of God is powerful. If we think of just simply the account in creation in Genesis, it says, and the Lord God, and God said, and it was so. God spoke the earth and the whole creation as we know it into being with his voice. So we consider the vastness of the world we live in and the depth of the ocean and the majesty of the mountains. And God's word made it happen. When God says something, it's going to happen. Another passage or another verse that stood out to me in thinking about the voice of God is Isaiah 30, verse 30. And it says, "And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm. With the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones." Speaking of God's voice being glorious, we think of the sense of awe when we hear the thunder crash and the lightning flashes and lights up the night sky. The power of a storm brings a sense of awe. God's voice is glorious, like the power of a storm. In Ezekiel 43, verse 2, it says, "And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came down from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory." I haven't been there recently, but I just am always impressed by the sound of Niagara Falls. I don't know how many gallons. I think I've heard the calculated data already, but I don't know what it is, of how many gallons goes over that falls in a minute, but it's tremendous. God's voice is like the sound of many waters. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the name Niagara was an Indian name that carries a thought of mighty thunderings or something to that effect. The thundering noise of the waterfalls. God's voice is like the noise of many waters. I guess the point that I would like to make on this for us to consider is that the voice of God should bring a sense of awe and reverence. God is mighty. God is majestic. He is powerful. He is glorious. God's voice carries a lot of weight and should motivate us to do what he wants us to do. I'd like to think a little bit about the requirements to hear God's voice. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 19. In Exodus 19, we'll start at verse 17. Exodus 19, verse 17. I think I'll read to verse 25, Exodus 19, 17 to 25. "And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount." This was the setting where God gave the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel. And God was preparing to speak with Moses on the mount. "And the people stood at the base of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly." The whole mountain shook, and it was covered in smoke. "And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice." And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and God called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. But first of all, before he gave them the commandments, the Lord said unto Moses, he said, now go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. And then it goes on to say, how he went back up, and God spake these words, and he gave them the Ten Commandments, as we know it today. What a display of majesty and power and holiness here. The point I'd like to bring out of this passage is to hear the voice of God, we must have a sanctified heart. And that word sanctified means to be set apart as holy or to be freed from sin. To hear the voice of God, we must have a sanctified heart. A heart that is open to what God would have for us to hear. Maybe you're facing a time in your life when you feel like God is just not as close. Maybe you feel like you're not hearing the voice of God. Search your heart. Sanctify your heart. Ask God to show you. Maybe there's something in your heart that needs to change. But to hear the voice of God, we must have a sanctified heart. I'd like to just turn to 1 Kings. I'm going to be jumping around a bit this morning. And we're going to look at chapter 19. First Kings chapter 19. I'm going to read the first 13 verses here. 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he, this is Elijah, saw that his life was threatened, and he arose, and he went for his life, and went and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts and for the children of Israel. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, and God told him to go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he goes on to say again how he is the only one left, and he was very zealous in his work for the Lord. And here they are, they're seeking to take his life away, and he's the only one left. Elijah was depressed. He felt hopeless. You know, it's interesting, if we would go back a little bit, this whole thing took place right after Elijah's victorious showdown with the prophets of Baal, and they sacrificed, and God sent fire on his offering and burned the whole altar. That was a mountaintop experience. Now he was in a valley experience. In life, we have ups and downs. There's mountains and there's valleys. And sometimes in the valleys, when things look hopeless, we're like Elijah and we just feel like we're the only one left. But are we listening to God in those times? We can hear God in the mountaintop experiences, right? But are we listening to God in the low times? Along with that, sometimes life is so busy. I think especially of right now with the holiday season, the hustle and the bustle and all the busyness of life. Sometimes we miss hearing God's voice because we're too busy. Think of Jesus in his ministry. The crowds of people would throng around him. And at times he would just slip away and go to a mountaintop or somewhere alone with God to pray and to think and to meditate. Brothers and sisters, do we take time to listen to God's voice? He doesn't always speak with lightning and thunder. Sometimes it's in a whisper. Do we take time to think and to pray and to listen to the voice of God? Just a challenge that I'd like to leave with each one this morning. I'd like to look at just a few examples of God speaking to men here on earth. In Genesis chapter 22, I don't think we're going to take the time to read this passage, but this is the account where Abraham was called to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. And from Abraham's perspective, it did not make sense. Isaac was his only son that God was going to build a nation through. And here he is calling him to sacrifice Isaac for him on the mountain. But he didn't hesitate to obey. He got up early in the morning, And they set out, I believe it was 3 days they were on the journey, and they could finally see the mountain afar off. This wasn't just a short trip. And Isaac even challenged him. We have the fire and we have the wood, but where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. I don't think Abraham knew what God was going to do at that point yet. He even bound his son up and put him on the altar. And he took out his knife. And the angel stopped him there and said, now I know that you will obey no matter what. The point that I'd like to bring out in this is that the voice of God sometimes will require us to obey even when we don't understand. Do we have the kind of faith that Abraham had to follow God's instructions no matter what? And to listen and obey the voice of God even when he didn't understand? Appreciated the devotional meditation out of Daniel. There's a few verses I'd like to read and take from Daniel as well. In Daniel chapter 2, we could look at verses 14 to 19. You can turn there in your Bibles. Daniel chapter 2, verse 14. We were challenged in Daniel 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the example that they left us, and we were challenged to, you know, what tracks are we leaving? Where, if others follow our tracks, where will it lead them? And I was really challenged by that thought. But in Daniel 2, verses 14 to 19, we're going to look at his example here a little bit. And it says, and this is where the king had a dream. And he was demanding that the wise men would interpret it. But he couldn't even tell them what the dream was. Couldn't remember what his dream was. He just knew it was a troubling dream, and he wanted a definition of it. And of course, they said this is impossible. But then Daniel, in verse 14, answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. The king was so furious, he commanded that all the wise men were killed. Daniel stepped forward and he said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel and told him about the dream and that the king wanted an interpretation, but he couldn't even remember what the dream was. And then Daniel went in and he desired of the king in verse 16 that he would give him time and he would show the king the interpretation. So he asked the king to hold off on this command of killing all the wise men. Give him some time, and he'll come back and give the interpretation. And the first thing he did in verse 17 is he went to his house, and he went and told his three friends. This is their Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He went and told his companions that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. The thing that stood out to me in this account here, in this example of Daniel, is that he went to his friends and they were united in prayer. And that's when the voice of God came. The voice of God will come when we are united in prayer sometimes in ways that will not otherwise happen. Think of the believers who were gathered there praying for Peter and he was released from prison. The voice of God is powerful and will come and speak to us sometimes when we unite in prayer with brothers and sisters. And Daniel chapter 6 is another example. It's a familiar story. We'll just read a few verses. We'll start in at chapter 6, Daniel 6, verse 10. The king had signed a decree that anyone who asks a petition of anything or any god other than him would be thrown into the lion's den. In verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that the law was put in place, what did he do? He went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. The point that I'd like to bring from this is that committed prayer life, no matter what life circumstances are, will keep us in tune to the voice of God. Committed prayer life, no matter what life circumstances are, will keep us in tune to the voice of God. We have Daniel's example here, and we know how God miraculously saved him from the lions. So how does God speak to us today? Jesus told his disciples in John 16, verse 13. He said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The voice of God speaks to us today through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, it says. The Spirit speaks to our hearts and shows us what is truth and right in a world that is full of false teachers. In Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit gives us assurance of salvation. It bears witness with our spirit, confirming that we are the children of God. In Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't even know what to pray. Also in John chapter 16, verse 8, Jesus told his disciples, and when he, again the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. When God brings conviction of something you did that was wrong, don't ignore it. Do, you will sear your conscience by brushing it off, and you will no longer hear the voice of God. If your conscience does not prick you anymore, you'll end up falling away from your relationship with God. Heed the voice of the Spirit. Don't ignore your conscience. Along with that, as we looked at in our Sunday school lesson, the voice of God comes through our brothers and sisters in the Lord. In the lesson today, we saw how God spoke through Moses, to Moses, through his father-in-law, Jethro. Jethro gave him advice, and it was good for him and the people. How do we accept the input of others? It's a challenge I'd like to leave with each one of us today. Listen to the input of our brothers and sisters. God may be speaking to us through them. voice of God also spoke to the people, especially to his disciples of Jesus when he was on this earth. And it declared that Jesus was divine. It declared the divinity of Jesus. At his baptism, in Matthew chapter 3, it says that when Jesus was baptized, he went up and straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Again, at the Mount of Transfiguration, while Peter was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And again, at Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, in John chapter 12, Jesus said, "Father, glorify thy name." And there is this voice that came from heaven and said, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." I think it talks about it sounding like a voice of thunder in that passage. That phrase, "Hear ye him," is what stood out to me in this. You know, by reading and listening to the teachings of Jesus, we are listening to the voice of God. Study the life of Jesus, and you will hear the voice of God. The voice of God inspired the writing of the scriptures, the Bible that we have today. In 2 Peter, I think I'll read a few of these verses. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." This is Peter writing, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice came from heaven, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation." This is not just man's ideas. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The whole Bible is inspired by God. As it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The Bible has everything we need to hear God's voice. There may be many different voices that you hear in the world, but remember, God's voice never contradicts his word. The burden that I would like to share in this, brothers and sisters, read your Bibles. Yes, devotional books have their place, and they can bring fresh ideas and real-life applications to light. And there is nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's good. I encourage it. But the Bible should be our grounding point. The Bible is the voice of God. Today, at any time, As long as you have cell service, you can get all kinds of voices on your phone. There are podcasts, there's sermons on video, there's all kinds of voices out there. While some of them may be good, some of them are not the truth. Be careful what you listen to. Stay rooted and grounded to the Word of God. I realize, I know sometimes reading can be difficult. Maybe you find reading is just hard for you to do. Or maybe there can be settings where there's older people that can't read anymore because they can't see. Listening on audio form is another option. That's better than nothing. But listen and stay close to the Word of God. Don't just, if you use audio form, I want to encourage you to do it with undivided attention. I'm not saying it's wrong to listen while you work or doing other activities. It's fine, it's good. But don't limit your Bible intake through audio only while you're doing something. Take time to stop and listen to what God is saying through His Word. And along with that, if you never read the Bible the whole way through, I would encourage you to do so. Read it from front to back, cover to cover, the whole Word of God. In closing, I'd like to just share a few thoughts from Gary Miller's book, Surviving the Tech Tsunami. I'm sure some of you have read it. If you haven't, it's a good book to read and to consider. But there's a chapter title in that book that says, "What are we listening to?" It's a question. What are we listening to? And it's talking about recorded music, especially. I'm going to quote one paragraph that stood out to me. It says, "One church leader told me, we worship with those we listen to." And he went on to say that this attachment becomes so strong it is almost impossible to break. He said, "I have seen young people walk away from friends and family, even their local church, but it is very rare to see someone leave their music." And he added that listening to Christian music with different doctrinal beliefs can drastically affect a listener's theology or what they believe about God. Music carries a message. And if we think we're not affected by it, I believe we're wrong. In Ephesians 4:19, God's word, or Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he talks about singing or speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Recorded music can be a great blessing and an inspiration. God can speak to us through music to bring conviction and to inspire us to do what is right. But music can also be a curse and mislead us if we're not careful. God's intention for music is to worship Him. Our music should be worshiping God. And you know, a song might carry a message that is good. Maybe the words are good, and the message of the song is good, but if the music that goes with it appeals to our carnal nature, the message is distorted or completely drowned out by the music. Another phrase in the Gary's book there is, music affects our emotions, and we tend to follow what feels good. This imperceptible movement from music as worship to music as entertainment is an almost inevitable slide. I just want to challenge us in our music. Is it to entertain us or is it to worship? Is God speaking through our music choices today? Sometimes I think it would be better to spend more time singing and less time listening to recorded music. I'm not condemning it at all. And I know if you look across the scope in a lot of churches, they've gone away from congregational singing. And I just want to challenge us to put our heart into singing. I'm so blessed by the songs that we sang this morning and by the harmony and the beauty of singing out and making a joyful noise to the Lord. As we go through the week ahead, the coming weeks, through the busyness of life, let's take time to listen to the voice of God. Let's kneel for prayer.